ER 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, it's the time of backyard barbecues, picnics, but how safe is your food out there in the hot summer sun? Our next expert, Dr. David John, is a board-certified emergency physician. He's the chairman of Geriatric Medicine Division at the American College of Emergency Physicians. So welcome, Dr. John, and thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So, you know, the CDC estimates, and actually maybe because we talk about this so much, I was looking at stats from before and now, so it is actually a little down. They used to say 76 million people total would get foodborne illness. Now they say it's about 48 million, one in six. But some of them, and your expertise in geriatric medicine, it can be potentially serious for the elderly. So tell us what you've seen and what type of problems people can run into with food poisoning.
Well, I'll just give one quick case. I had the chief of surgery's daughter come in with nausea, vomiting, flushing, and I asked her where she went to dinner, and she'd gone to a seafood restaurant. Oh, yeah. And I diagnosed her with Stomboid, which is a flushing reaction to histamines from pelagic fish like tuna, mackerel, things like that, that have broken down a little bit, and they get a histamine surge and a histaminergic reaction. And the chief of surgery questioned my call and was wanting a second opinion when the chef from the restaurant showed up with the same symptoms.
Oh, that was fun.
Well, so that was kind of an interesting case. I got some credibility that day.
Yes, so, well,
but
nothing like
what we see is we see a lot of times stuff that's left out too long. You know, when you eat at home, you have a controlled environment with hopefully clean countertops, a sink to wash things in, clean cutting boards, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're in the outdoors or at the beach or at a park or something like that, you don't have those benefits. And so with raw foods, especially if they're mixed with mayonnaise, and they're left out for several hours for people to continue to eat because whoever made it doesn't want it to go to waste, then what happens is the clock is ticking on bacteria. Second thing is when you have raw meats that come in contact with your uncooked food or even cooked food, they can cross-contaminate with E. coli. The other thing that's interesting is cooking on the barbecue. If you cook a steak, we know what slaughterhouses are like. You know, there's feces, et cetera, on the floor with a lot of E. coli. You eat a steak and you clean it off and cook it, and the outside is cooked. You can eat a steak rare. But if you have ground meat, ground turkey, ground beef, whatever, the E. coli is in the center, and it hasn't been cooked. And if you cook it rare, you get a large dose of E. coli, which can make you very sick.
Yeah, that's some. And there are a lot of laws that are out there that do pertain to restaurants. I mean, they're very, I mean, many times I've been to a restaurant with my son who wants a rare hamburger, and they're like, I'm sorry, we don't serve rare hamburgers. So I think that that is true. But, you know, what's interesting is maybe it's vigilance, but it seems like, you know, we're hearing about it so much. And I wonder if some of it might be, you know, the way food is handled. I mean, people, you know, and we're even hearing it with healthy food, right? It always used to be the meats before, and now we hear salmonella outbreaks with tomatoes or lettuce or spinach. And I wonder, you know, what's going on with the processing or the farming that it's handling. You know, those bags, now people buy bags of spinach or bags of lettuce that are cut up. So I guess if there's one contaminated head, but in the processing they cut it up and it goes into multiple bags, that's how it seems to be spreading. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, when you think about it, it's kind of a natural food, organic food movement. Back in the day when we were growing up, they put any kind of chemical imaginable to preserve and to prevent bacteria, but many of them turned out to be carcinogens, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as we're kind of going more natural, you'll see them recycling water. You'll see them recycling manure, broken down vegetables, et cetera, because they can use that cheaply and naturally. But what happens is when it's natural, it goes back to what it was like in the 1940s or 30s, where you had a little ice box and you had to eat the food fairly quickly, otherwise it went bad. You know, you had maybe a day to eat the food that you're eating. And I think using that principle, when we go outside and we're camping and so forth, you got to really make sure that the food that's supposed to stay cold stays cold, keep adding ice, so that it's at a temperature that would be equivalent to a refrigerator. Because even if it's 40, 45 degrees, it's going to start to have these, you know, bacteria and toxins multiply. And then same with hot food. Hot food needs to be eaten relatively hot, because once it cools down, you know, it's subject to all kinds of exposures and breakdown and so forth. And plus, you know, this time of year, there's bees and flies around. But we know where flies like to go. So you're getting contamination from other sources as well. And, you know, the other thing I would throw out now is also for camping and outdoor stuff, be very, very careful about the water that you use. Because, you know, this is the time of year where people get all kinds of parasites from water that's natural, contaminated. And I think one other thing I'd throw out is you were talking about the handling of food. You know, always wash your hands before you prepare food. I mean, I think it's kind of common sense, but again, if you're at a campground and there's not potable water around, you may not wash. So I would bring extra water in bottles to use for washing food, cleaning off surfaces, cleaning hands.
Well, you can bring the hand sanitizers, too. And with the water, I guess if you're camping, you know, you need to boil water. Anyone who's watched that new wonderful series I love, Naked and Afraid, where you're thrown out into the environment to survive naked, the women that bring the pots or the men that bring the pots with them to be able to boil water once they make fire, they're the ones that always do well. So I think that's an important.
And I think, just trying to create the same conditions that you have in your own kitchen. You know, just because you're outside doesn't mean you can eat dirty food and leave it out for hours at a time.
Right. And so with that, I like the idea of the tips in the kitchen. So, you know, I like to keep totally separate cutting boards that I put in the dishwasher that are color-coded. Mm-hmm. So I never, you know, do my salad cutting on the same cutting board that I would do, you know, poultry or meat or eggs or anything.
Yeah. And I've got to say, being an ER doc for like 25 years now, I see a lot less cases of food poisoning now than I used to. But it's right, you see a blip in the summertime. But right. I thought the CDC statistics were pretty good, and I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So what about cooking when you're cooking on the grill? I mean, do you recommend using an actual meat thermometer to make sure that things like poultry are really cooked enough?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, especially if you bring in frozen foods, the outside can look brown, but the inside may be raw. And most of us kind of, you know, gag at the thought of eating raw chicken, so it's not really a sushi material. But they recommend that you do bring a meat thermometer. And I've become hooked on meat thermometers because now everything that I cook is perfect. And in this case, it doesn't have to just be perfect. It has to be safe.
Right. So basically, I think that, isn't it at about 150 to 160 degrees, like red meats and beefs, and then really poultry should be more, right? About 180.
Yeah, the numbers I saw were 140 to 150 minimum.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. That really kills it good. And the other thing is leaving the food out shouldn't be more than 2 hours unless you're going to have cold plates and such. If you're going to make leftovers, you want to reheat to 165 degrees, like all those
140,
sauces. Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. The other thing that's interesting when you're going on a picnic, there's a saying that says, last in, first out. If you pack a cooler, the stuff you put on the top should be the first thing you eat, because that's not as cooled as well. I want to thank my guests. It's been interesting and helpful for food safety. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.